Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Housing Minister says Micah is an absolute scourge. Dara O'Brien says the issue poses a matter of justice and fairness to the Exchequer. The Letterkenny COVID-19 assessment hub has formally ceased operations. The HSE says this reflects the great work that's been done in the community in Donegal. Health experts have cast doubt on whether the government's plans to further restrict travel from the UK will keep the Delta variant out of Ireland. And in other news, the importance of Donegal Airport is being highlighted following Stobart Air's announcement at the weekend that it's terminating its contracts with Aer Lingus. The Donegal Dublin flight's not running now. And later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. All those to follow, but we begin with a statement this evening from the Bishop of Derry, Bishop Donal McKeown. He says he's been aware of the issues associated with mica in buildings for well over a year and has seen the huge damage done by these faulty products. Bishop McKeown says for all concerned, it must be causing unimaginable distress, and it's vital that the government acknowledges the plight of so many citizens by enabling everyone to repair or rebuild without incurring crippling costs. The Diocese of Derry includes 11 parishes in Donegal, predominantly in the Inishowen and Finn Valley areas. The Housing Minister says mica is an absolute scourge. Dara O'Brien says the issue poses a matter of justice and fairness to the Exchequer. He said he strongly believes those responsible for the manufacture of defective blocks must be held to account, and echoed the Taoiseach's view that insurance companies also have a role to play. On today's 9 till noon show, the Minister didn't commit to a 100% redress scheme, but told Greg Hughes he hopes to be in a position in the coming weeks to propose revisions to the current scheme.
Take this really seriously. These are people's homes. Mica is an absolute scourge, not just in Donegal, but in Mayo and indeed in some other counties with pyrite in the block. What I would like to see as well, and the Taoiseach was real clear about this over the weekend, is that those responsible as well need to be held to account. And we've got to look at in the future as to how we can ensure that, some of the cost is borne, not just by the Exchequer, but by others. So we've asked the Attorney General to actually look specifically at this issue. Now, I don't want that delaying any potential changes, and it won't. But I think there is a matter of justice here too. There's a matter of fairness to the Exchequer. If you look at how residents have been treated by, and the state indeed, by insurance companies, by bond insurers, and indeed by producers. Already we've estimated, and this is probably conservative, Greg, €1 billion, I would say it would be more. So any changes that we make, which I want to work with the group to agree, to make sure that the scheme works, will mean that the cost will be above that.
How close to the homeowner who's in this situation through no fault of their own, they will have to contribute? Is that what you're saying? And will it be 10%?
I'm not going to draw any red lines. You asked me that at the start, because the work is ongoing right now. It won't be going on forever either, and I want the input of the group. So I don't want to be setting any false sort of one timelines, but two objectives of the scheme, because the issues that have been raised with me, including the grant caps and the percentage contribution, issues on engineering costs, you know, all of those things, they're all on the table. Okay. I don't expect this to be, I'm hoping that in a matter of weeks that we will be able to come back with the revisions that can be agreed.
And that was Minister Dara O'Brien speaking there to Greg Hughes. You can hear that whole interview, of course, on our website, highlandradio.com. We're also on the show with Greg today. Henry O'Donnell, who is National Council Member of the INHFA, also spoke to Greg about the impact that mica has had on his home.
My house has mica. My garage, domestic garage behind the house has mica. And 50 yards up behind that, my farmyard has mica. So my house was built in 1997. Now, we started having difficulties, I would say, sort of 2006 to 2008, where we noticed one of the gables seemed to be damp, and we had a conservatory at that side of the house, and it had a glass roof, and we basically blamed that. We eventually re-roofed it. It only became apparent afterwards then that there was absolutely nothing wrong with it. It was the blocks and the wall crumbling all the time. We're currently in stage two. Stage one approved us for demolition. We have currently got our planning permission for a rebuild, and we're waiting for the county council to give us the go-ahead. And we're in the same boat, I'm afraid, as a lot of other people, been asked for quite silly additional information. I would be questioning, what is this about? The first quotation I've got from a building contractor is leaving me having to pay, I think, something like $96,000,
wow,
along with the redress. Right. Which isn't going to happen.
Are contractors given any indication when they could start work?
What I found with contractors, they're actually unable to give definitive quotations because material prices are increasing so fast. Because of the way the council are working, I can't give them a start date. So we're sort of sitting in limbo at the moment here. So that's the situation. It's very difficult.
Henry O'Donnell there speaking on today's 9 till noon show. The Letterkenny COVID-19 Assessment Hub has ceased operations. The number of referrals to the acute assessment hub had reduced dramatically in recent weeks, with the downward trend continuing, even with recent relaxation of lockdown measures. The HSE says this reflects the great work that's been done in the community vaccination programme and GP surgeries in the rollout of vaccines to the most vulnerable patients. The hub closed as GPs now have the capacity to assess their patients in GP surgeries. The long COVID clinic will continue to operate one day per week on a Tuesday, and new referrals will be accepted by phone until the electronic referral system is back up and running. Health experts have cast doubt on whether the government's plans to further restrict travel from the UK will keep the Delta variant out of Ireland. Ministers are expected to consider extending the mandatory home quarantine requirement to 10 days for people coming from the UK who aren't fully vaccinated. People Before Profit has called for mandatory hotel quarantine to be introduced for a number of months for those travellers. Professor of Immunology at UCC, Liam Fanning, isn't convinced that the government plan will keep the variant out.
It will this spread within the community, and look, to be the practicality and the immunological situation are very different, and the optics of saying keep someone restricted at home for 10 days largely outweigh the practical implications that people are not probably going to self-quarantine at home for 10 days. But if you give them antigen tests, then they can do these at home, and if they get a positive, then there's a contact number and the leaflet that comes with it.
Trinity College Professor Luke O'Neill says authorities will have to look at slowing the spread of the Delta variant as second doses of COVID vaccines are administered.
This is the biggest race at the moment, isn't it? The race is to get everybody to get two shots. That's what the race is now, because this new variant has emerged. We didn't have that race as intensely as before, because we knew before, for instance, one shot was quite good against previous variants, you see. But now that we know the one shot isn't quite as good, we've got to get the two shots into people's arms. So the idea would be to try slow it down now until we get everybody having two shots.
Well, patients attending the emergency department, outpatient and other appointments at Letterkenny University Hospital have again today been facing significant delays as the impact of the cyber attack on the HSE continues to affect the delivery of hospital services. Progress has been made to get some priority systems back up and running, including radiology, diagnostic and laboratory and patient information systems. However, many supporting systems are still being worked on and delays remain a factor. With a report from earlier today, here's Anya McGlinchey.
The Sealta Hospital Group says many manual processes are in place at Letterkenny University Hospital. For example, ordering x-rays and laboratory tests, and also for getting results back. The hospital's email system hasn't been restored, which is making communication between different areas of the hospital and outside of the hospital more difficult and also much slower. Sean Murphy, hospital manager, says there are around 80 different interconnected IT systems in use at the hospital, making it a complex process to restore. Store, with the workarounds in place in the meantime slowing us down. A high number of appointments have been cancelled at the hospital since the attack on the HSE. Patients are advised to attend appointments if called, and patients attending emergency department are facing extremely long delays because essential services like blood tests and diagnostic services are taking much longer than usual, subsequently increasing turnaround times. People are again advised to contact their GP or GP out-of-hours service in the first instance.
Donegal Airport is said to be worth an estimated €50 million to the Northwest region per annum. The airport's future has been placed in jeopardy following Stobart Air's termination of its contract with Aer Lingus to deliver regional flights. That also impacts on the service linking Donegal and Dublin. Well, the airport's chair, Steve O'Callaghan, says if any county needs air connectivity, it's Donegal. He says investment in Donegal Airport and the Donegal-Dublin route is vital.
We have 30 people employed there directly, but the airport supports directly and indirectly in the hinterland in the region. It supports upwards to 400 jobs, and it's worth about €50 million per annum to the region. It's much more than just the airport and the people employed there. It's as I said, there's the direct and indirect economic benefit there to the region, and it has to be retained and has to be supported and has to be developed.
Well, the announcement that Stobart Air ceased trading came as a major blow for many cancer patients in Donegal. Many travel from the county to Dublin regularly for treatment. They say the journey by car or bus is simply not feasible for them. The chair of Donegal Action for Cancer Care, Betty Holmes, says there must be an alternative in place as quickly as possible.
We have patients actually having to sort of look at now, how do they actually get to Dublin? And, you know, this service was a great benefit to Donegal cancer patients. And again, because they got sort of part funding towards it, it helped. So there's major impact on Donegal cancer patients, and it's really not acceptable. And we're calling very, very sincerely, and we hope that our Donegal minister and Donegal deputies step up to the fore and really voice their concerns on this, because this must be addressed as a matter of extreme urgency.
And indeed, for many of these patients, that trip either by car or by bus, it could be too much for them.
Most definitely, Michaela. We're back to the whole thing about the geographical spread of Donegal and the impact that all, I suppose, for key services in either Galway or Dublin, that the travel has on cancer patients. And again, we've got to remember an awful lot of those cancer patients who are travelling to Dublin wouldn't be actually able to physically make the journey by car to the hospital appointment. So there's major impact. And again, we have to look at the whole thing of the seriousness, the stress of cancer alone that it has on a patient and indeed their family. But now we have the added pressure and stress on the patient and their family. How do I get to my hospital appointments in Dublin? What will happen?
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. Well, it hasn't been a good evening for Scotland in the European 2020 Championships. They've started their campaign with an opening defeat. Lewis Mason was watching the game with some Scottish fans in London today on what was their 2-0 defeat against the Czech Republic at Hampden Park.
It's a very sombre atmosphere here as Scotland's first match of a major tournament in 23 years has ended in defeat, a 2-0 defeat against the Czech Republic. Patrick Schick scored twice for the Czechs, including an incredible strike from just over the halfway line, which may already have won goal of the tournament. He added to a first half header where he glanced a right wing cross straight past David Marshall. Scotland also came up against an inspired performance from the Czech goalkeeper, who kept out Andy Robertson and Lyndon Dykes, and he also made an incredible save when he was nearly lobbed by one of his own players. That man was Tomáš Vašlík, who just was in the way for the Czech Republic at all times. Next up is the big one against England at Wembley on Friday.
That game was played in Group D today. The two matches in Group F are taking place this evening as well. About 14 minutes gone in St. Petersburg as Poland took on Slovakia. That was one of the games that was due to be played at the Aviva Stadium. 0-0 is the latest there in that one. And then later tonight, Spain are taking on Sweden. The Spanish have home advantage for that one. That match is taking place in Sevilla. That kicks off at 8 this evening. More locally in soccer, Bunnagee United and Coghill Celtic will both be on the road to Leinster Senior League opposition for the qualifying round of the FAI Senior Cup. Ulster Senior League champions Coghill will take on St. Mochta's, while Bunnagee United will be up against Maynooth University Town. Those games are to be played on the weekend in the 11th of July, with the winner to be decided on the day. The GAA has confirmed that Croke Park will host the Allianz Football League Division 3 final on Saturday. Derry will face Offaly in the only decider to be played across the four divisions. Throw-in time at GAA headquarters this coming weekend will be 5 o'clock. And the Donegal Ladies will play Cavan in the Ulster Senior Championship semi-final this weekend. The game was originally penciled in for Saturday, the 19th of June at Breffni Park in Cavan, but the home side requested a move of fixture because of dual players involved in a league final camogie game. Reluctantly, Donegal have agreed to play the game the following day, Sunday the 20th, with a 1 p.m. throw-in time. And we'll be hearing from Donegal senior ladies manager Maxi Curran on the DEL debate with Brendan Devaney tonight. Also on the show, Frank Craig of the Donegal News, county hurling boss Mickey McCann, and Donegal senior football manager Declan Boner. His side, of course, return to training tomorrow night, having concluded their league campaign with a semi-final defeat at the hands of Dublin at the weekend. Next up for Donegal is, of course, a championship encounter against Down.
Listen, we're under no illusion the task ahead is going to be a really difficult match. Down were very good at the weekend. They scored 219. They know to play a lot of counter-attack football. A lot of really good players doing the two O'Higgins, Darren O'Higgins at centre-back and Barry O'Higgins are two really high-performance lads, and they're going to be difficult to watch. They've also got Keelan Mooney, who's a lot of pace and that Down team, and they're going to ask us plenty of questions, and we've got to have the answers for that. And as I say, we're not looking past next Sunday week. It's going to be a really difficult game for us.
There's more from Declan Boner tonight on the DEL Debate podcast with Brendan Devaney, available at highlandradio.com just after the 7 o'clock news, and it'll also be aired this evening as well across the Northwest on FM. In athletics, Mark English is getting closer to a place at the Olympic Games. His 800 metre victory in Sweden on Sunday evening with a season best time of 1:45.70 leaves him within touching distance of making the Games in Japan. It's a timely boost for English, who will defend his Irish title at the National Senior Championships on the last weekend of this month. Even if Mark doesn't hit the standard of 1:45.20, his ranking should be enough to get him on the plane to the Olympics. Patsy McGonigal says it's looking really good for the Finn Valley man.
A very, very positive run, and every aspect of the run is positive. So, it brings him into a very positive mindset going forward now. 2 weeks to the National Championships, and that'll be his racing plan. A possibility of a race in Madrid this weekend, and that will seal the run into the Olympic Games, and hopefully everything going according to plan now. And the big thing now in his mind has to be that for number one, he's got to try and retain his national senior 800 metres title. He's the fastest Irish man this year as of that run. And secondly, getting to the Olympic Games, that great privilege and honour to get to the Olympic Games for a second time in his case.
That performance last night was a huge shot in the arm for him, so it was, Patsy, and it's aged him even closer.
Nails his position, in the rankings as well. He was 33rd, and he may gain one or two spots, but it's looking good. It's looking really good now. And actually, we're worried, because he had a bit of a twinge of an injury, and he had to miss a couple of races that we had set up for him. And he just worried. But you're worried how he would come back into the race last night, and he did extremely well.
Patsy McGonigal on Mark English's performance last night. In horse racing, Luke McAteer was back in the winner's enclosure at Gowran Park this afternoon. The Donegal jockey guided the 7-4 favourite, a Devious Dreamer, to victory in the 2:55 Gorsebridge handicap for trainer James Barrett. It was the 7th win of the flat season for McAteer. And finally, in rugby, Ireland head coach Andy Farrell has included 11 uncapped players in his squad for the July tests against Japan and the USA at the Aviva Stadium. There's no place for Johnny Sexton, Kian Healy or Keith Earls in the 37-man squad, while James Ryan has been named as captain. Ulster's Robert Bellacoon, Tom O'Toole and Nick Timoney are among the 11 new faces. Both games are set to have supporters present as part of the government's outdoor pilot events. Next sport here on Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. Donal.
Thank you, Washington. The DUP and Sinn Féin have until 1 o'clock on next Monday afternoon to nominate a new First Minister and Deputy First Minister for Northern Ireland. It's after the resignation of Arlene Foster as First Minister today, effectively dissolving the executive. If both parties can't agree to a power-sharing deal by next week, then it will trigger a snap Assembly election. Well, speaking at Stormont this afternoon, the outgoing Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, said her party will approach power-sharing talks in the same way that they did previously.
This morning I was reflecting just on what I said in this chamber whenever we did re-establish power sharing. I talked that day about we needed to work together on the basis of openness and transparency, on the basis of accountability, in good faith and with no surprises. And that remains the position today. That's the only way in which we can share power together. We're all of us in this chamber called upon to lead.
Donegal County Council spent a total of €300 million in 2020. Moving to online council meetings and increasing online services resulted in a saving of 420,000 by the authority last year. With more detail, here's Michaela Clark.
Donegal County Council's income expenditure report showed at the end of 2020 the council recorded a surplus of €851,197, while the council's deficit reduced from €7.7 million at the end of 2019 to €6.9 million by the end of 2020 and down from a peak of €17.8 million in 2013. €205 million was spent by the council, with €95 million spent on the council's capital account, bringing total expenditure to €300 million. The council received an income of €50 million more than expected. The large increase in spending was as a result of €24.3 million spent on business restart grants and €15 million in rates waivers. €7.8 million was spent in additional roads grants and €1.2 million in additional housing grants. The surplus came from €3.55 million recouped from central government for exceptional expenditure and income loss arising from the COVID-19 pandemic.
The case of Michaela McAreevy is to be looked at again 10 years on from her killing. She was murdered while on honeymoon in Mauritius. No one has ever been convicted. With more, here's Ben Finnegan.
The Tyrone woman was killed while on honeymoon with her husband John in 2011. She was found strangled in a bath at a hotel in Mauritius 12 days after her wedding. Two hotel workers were tried for her murder in 2012 but were acquitted in a case her husband described as a kangaroo court. The decision for the Mauritian government to reconsider the case was announced by Northern Ireland's First Minister Arlene Foster and Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill. Ms O'Neill said in a statement, "Michaela deserves justice. And the very least her family deserve is truth. No stone should be left unturned in pursuing that."
West Tyrone SDLP MLA Daniel McCrossan has paid tribute to the party's former councillor Anne Bell following her death. He said Ms Bell was elected to the Strabane District Council in 1997 and served two terms until 2005, at a time when it wasn't easy to be an SDLP councillor. Her family home and cars were attacked on a number of occasions, and Mr Crossan says when she joined the PCSP during policing reform, Ms Bell faced threats to her safety. However, he said she was always happy to represent the people of Strabane. And Donegal County Council's bridge engineer is to carry out an inspection at Carrigolly Bridge in the Lismonahan area of Letterkenny after the parapet was recently hit and dislodged. Councillor Donald Coyle told Letterkenny and Milford Municipal District this week that while the road is only 3 metres wide at the bridge, there is an increasing amount of traffic using the route. Officials say the bridge will be considered for widening or complete replacement. And Councillor Coyle says there is no doubt that such work is necessary.
There's urgent repairs needed to the bridge as it is, like, you know, because the parapet was dislodged there recently, you know, and it's in a dangerous state, so something has to be done about that. The road width there is only three metres at the bridge. The road is a very busy road at certain times of the day because there's up to 10 buses taking children to Lurgybrack School and taking children from the immediate area to all the schools in the town. You know, it is urgent, and I'm glad that the council have proposed to include the bridge and future bridge programmes for widening or complete replacement, whichever would be decided.
Is it your view that widening really would be the optimum? Because with such a narrow road, and as you say, such a busy road, the wider the road, the safer the road, and the safer the road, the happier everyone is going to be.
That's correct, because look, there's only room for one vehicle on the bridge, you know, and You know, it has become an extremely busy road over the last number of years. There's a lot of traffic coming from the town. It comes up Lismonahan and on to Listillion, onto the Lorgy Brack Drumkeen Road. And I think a three meter road that carries that type of traffic, it's not feasible in today's world.
And that was Councillor Donal Coyle. Weather forecast, it'll stay mainly dry this evening with moderate westerly winds, fresh on northern and western coasts. Dry with clear spells tonight, cloud thickening in the west though toward morning with winds generally light. It'll be cool tonight with lows of 5 to 7 degrees Celsius. Cloudy and breezy with rain and drizzle moving into western areas early tomorrow, slowly edging eastwards. Some eastern areas will stay dry with bright spells until late afternoon, and rain and drizzle, however, will extend to all areas by tomorrow evening, becoming patchy as it does. Humid tomorrow, highs of 15 degrees in the west to 19 degrees in the east, in moderate to fresh southerly winds, strong in coastal areas. Looking at the main headlines, the Bishop of Derry says he's been aware of the issues associated with mica in buildings for well over a year and has seen the damage done. Bishop Donal McKeown says the government must acknowledge the plight of so many citizens by enabling everyone to repair or rebuild without incurring crippling costs. The Housing Minister says mica is an absolute disgrace. Dara O'Brien told Highland Radio's 9 till noon show today the issue poses a matter of justice and fairness for the Exchequer as well as for residents, and he said those responsible for the manufacture of defective blocks must be held to account. He also said insurance companies may have a role to play, and the Letterkenny COVID-19 Assessment Hub has ceased operations. The HSE says the closure reflects the great work that's been done in the community vaccination programme. We're back with news at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 14th of June. The death has taken place of Claire Kirk, née Graham, 1, the Paddock, Glebe, Sion Mills. Funeral from her home on Wednesday afternoon at 20 past 1 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills at 2 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Kathleen Graham Trust, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, churchmedia.tv/camera/St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills. The death has taken place of Anne Bell, née McElroy, 14, Knockavoe Crescent, Strabane. Funeral from her home on Wednesday morning at 25 past 11 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Millmount at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, millmountparish.com/webtv. The death has taken place of Sharon Campbell, née McLaughlin, 22, Cloncool Park, Cock Hill Road, Buncrana, formerly of Glashy House, Conaie, Kinnego, Ballymagan, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, on Wednesday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Cock Hill. Wake prayers and rosary can be viewed at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening on the same webcam. Due to HSE and government guidelines, house and funeral are limited to 50 people, please. Family flowers only, house private to family and close friends. The death has occurred of Bernadette McKelvey, née Bradley, Woodview, Glenealy, Crossroads, Killigordon. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. Due to HSE and government restrictions, and in keeping with the wishes of the deceased, the house is strictly private, please. The church is restricted to a maximum of 50 people. Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish Facebook page. The death has occurred of Dr. Lawrence Smith, Killult, Fulcarra. His remains are reposing at his home in Killult, Fulcarra. Rosary will be said tonight at 8 o'clock. Removal from his home tomorrow morning to St Finian's Church, Fulcarra, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery.
Rosary tonight and Funeral Mass tomorrow may be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv/camera/Falkara Parish Church. The death has taken place of Brian McGinley, Main Street, Dunfanaghy. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, on Wednesday at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv/camera/Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy. The death has taken place of Hugh Hoynes, 25 Evish Grove, Strabane. Funeral from his home tomorrow morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam.